Okay. Sorry about that.
Sorry.
Are we recording?
Yeah. All right. Let's call this meeting to order. Parks and Rec Advisory Board. You should have received an agenda. See, all of us have one in front of us. Do we have someone who can make a motion to approve the agenda?
Yeah, I move to approve it.
All right. Second?
Second.
Thank you. Did you have a chance to look at the summary notes? Were there any changes or questions?
Move to approve.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Yeah.
Aye. Wonderful. So, Tara, do we have anybody with community comments? Such a nice
Nobody's day. Nobody joined us. Nope, we're good.
Well, sometimes, yeah.
They gave up.
I had a request in the queue.
Okay. Then we'll go right into budget updates and priorities. Ken, you want to lead that part?
Sure, you bet. So the budget is still an evolving state. Prior to yesterday, every department director had met with the city manager, finance director, and our deputy city manager, and worked on our budgets kind of in silos by department. And then yesterday, we had a director's retreat where our finance director had packaged the entire city budget together, and we, you know, walked through that and went through that. Overall, the city budget looks pretty good right now. As far as the big picture, what really helped us this biennium was American Rescue Plan money. You know, the city got about $5 million from American Rescue Plan. Our parks budget was infused with a little over $500,000 about a month ago, which was, you know, reimbursed some of the reimbursements from FEMA, not ARPA money, but from FEMA, the storm damage we had and different things. And part of that is funding the project at Marius Young. ARPA also helped out the overall city budget. You know, last year, our two union contracts were renewed, AFSCME and CCPOA for our police department. And, you know, with the inflationary rate, it was about a 5% increase for everybody. You know, anticipate this year, again, July 1 is going to be, you know, roughly another 5% increase for, you know, all of our employees. So some of the ARPA money was used there. So, you know, projecting forward, when we look at the 5-year projections and things, you know, we always kind of look at the, I guess, the pessimistic side of where, if everything crashes, where would we be? And, you know, it's not always a great view. But we're confident that we're going to be okay, you know, even over the next 5 years. As far as Parks and Rec, everything that we've kind of talked about, as far as our CIP is still in there. You know, we still have to go through the budget committee. There are 4 meetings that have city council and citizens. And then obviously, once we have a mayor elected in May, you know, he'll jump in, or if it's a new person, or they'll. We have 2 people running. One is the acting mayor and one is the city council that just left. So we'll either get a new person or the same person, but, you know, that process will move forward in June to approve our budget. So on the capital improvement side, everything we kind of talked about is still intact. You know, we have the Go Bun Gone projects that you've seen. We have, you know, our projections going forward. We did keep in there our park improvements and our park maintenance. Park improvements at $65,000, park maintenance at $25,000. That's kind of, you know, new line items we just put in last time. That's just, those are unidentified projects as of today, where we can improve our parks for $65,000. Those are for things over $10,000 in the capital improvements budget. The park maintenance at $25,000 is really fixing or kind of upgrading existing things that, you know, playground pieces that break, swings that break, you know, adding new pieces to playgrounds. In our line item budget, we talked about the big change was we've infused it with about $60,000 of new money. And we have a park improvements line item there now, which is $35,000, which is for those items that are less than $10,000. So we can start to put, you know, some smaller amenities in our parks. Whether though we've talked about, you know, some disc golf baskets, we've talked about bike racks and all those different things that we'll explore. And then we added the line item that's really important to track, 2 line items, is a park tree maintenance and removal. We've never really tracked what we spend on trees in our parks. We have an open space line item that's our 400 acres of open space, and that's a lot of that is tree work. But the rest of it was just kind of lumped into park maintenance, and we're at a point where with that park tree maintenance and removal and the other line item, if you recall, we added was a street tree line item. And we've never really tracked those expenses separately so that the community or budget committee knows where that portion of our money's going. Because tree maintenance and tree removal is a growing expense. Trees are getting older just like everything, and we're spending more and more every year just to either remove branches that are hazardous in the trees in a park or open space. As you know, most of our parks and open spaces are all surrounded by homes. So we have a lot of hazards that can potentially be there. Other than that, the budget's pretty much intact. And I hope, it's kind of hard to get that out there. I don't have it where I can even send it out. It's all kind of our finance director's hands in Excel files right now that she's built. But I'll certainly answer any questions that you might have or anything you'd like to know that I don't know today, if there's something, and get answers for you as we move forward.
Is there anything that you feel is a vulnerability that people may not understand? Because my assumption is everything is good and important. So if they don't support it, it's simply that they don't understand it. So that's why my word.
I don't think so. in a nutshell, I don't want to go too deep into this. Our budget is set up uniquely because we have a general fund which has 12 funds in it, but we also have 5 funds that sit outside of the general fund that are funded by the general fund. So parks, police, and planning and building are general fund funds, but they've been pulled out, and this was done years ago, so that we can kind of manage our own fund. And if you're prudent and fiscally sound and you have a budget carryover, it carries over to your next year. But the confusing part is, so then we have a cost allocation. Like in our budget, we have $1 million that goes back to fund finance and all those support services that support everything we do as Parks and Rec, everything upstairs. Where a lot of cities will just have all those funds all listed in the general fund, and they don't transfer those costs back, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So that can be a little confusing for people, and we're trying to clarify the budget and make sure that the public understands. Because, all those are funded in some portion by property taxes, right? So like if the police fund doesn't look great this year, well, the finance director and the city manager say, well, let's just fuse more property taxes into the police and take a little from parks, right? Because it's all property tax funds. So that can be confusing for people. And then there are certain monies that are dedicated, like our park maintenance fee can't be shared. That goes right into our, street maintenance fees. Those go right into the fund. But, the property taxes are allocated to the general fund accounts. If you look at our budget, that can be a little confusing. Other than that, I think if you just look at the parks budget, I think it's pretty straightforward, without going into those semantics of general fund issues and things like that, if that clarifies anything.
Okay, so the board members, questions?
Looking at this document that you sent out on the McLean House, it said it's moved to facilities, but is that facilities within Parks and Rec, or is that?
Our facilities department is one of those general fund items, right? City council, facilities, finance, all these things, those 12 funds.
Yeah.
So it's actually its own fund, still funded by the general fund tax dollars, property tax dollars. It's a fund that I manage, right? We have one employee there, one facilities person. And that's where all of our city facilities are located, right? So the McLean House was kind of an anomaly in our system. It was, kind of managed by the Friends Group for the past 42 years. And we had one line item in our budget that was about $15,000 a year where we would, support our own owned property, but the Friends Group, we would share costs there.
Yeah.
So what we did was, now that we are owner, operator, manager of that, we took it out of parks and put it in with the Adult Community Center, Sunset Fire Hall, City Hall, Police Station, Library, all those facilities that, you know, where it belongs per se, along with Robin Wood Station. You know, so every building we own is now in that fund, and expenses are tracked there.
Other questions that came up? Thank you for sending all of that information in advance. Really appreciate that.
Well, I know it's kind of current fiscal year, not all of it's going forward, but.
That's the bond that we passed for open lender last year. It is kind of up in the air.
It is. So, yeah. So
how does that play a part?
In court.
Pending the court block.
Well, it's just right now, it's currently just sitting there as a bond, as bonds that could be sold, right? So there's $3.5 million in bonds authorized to be sold by the city to purchase Offenlander and do upgrades and use at other parks if there's any money left. That's really how the bond was written. So depending on what happens in the court case, the city will either, you know, sell those bonds and purchase the property, or my inclination is, if the city loses a court case and it's sold to whoever, then those bonds will never be sold. I don't think we can legally sell them because the main purpose was the purchase of Offenlander, right? Yeah. I mean, I could be wrong, but I think that's where we are. That's in end of June. That court case is supposed to start, is my understanding.
So what's that dollar amount?
The bond was for $3.5 million.
Of which $120,000 is to buy the property, or thereabouts.
But the bond was passed before the assessment came in, right?
No.
Well, that was known. So the bond was $3.5 million for the purchase of Offenlander property, capital improvements, and any excess could be used in other parts. So the bond measure itself didn't list specifically where the money goes. Council, through the purchase sale agreement, that's where those specific dollars came. So I think, you know, council has the leeway to spend that $3.5 million as they see fit within the legal means, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But yes, the conversation.
So if I remember correctly, though, if the school district got their way, you'd have to pay $6.5 million just to buy it, right? Wasn't that what their price was?
That's the conversation. 2020, it was appraised at $6.5 million.
Yeah.
And that was for developers to build houses.
Yes. Yeah. But they're arguing that that's the market value of it, because that's what they could sell it to somebody else for. So that's what they want the city to pay.
Which is the crux of the court case,
yes.
Right? The difference in purchase price.
Right.
Yeah. And the purchase sale agreement and how all that fits into the legal system. So probably shouldn't say anymore. I'll get in trouble. I'd be a lawyer. It's going to court.
Yeah. I got a lot of questions.
But the bottom line is that if we actually get it as a park, for $120,000, okay, if we do that, most of that money is going to be used to fix that facility, because we looked at what it costs to put bathrooms in, you know, parking lot, to fix all the other stuff. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be done, because that's been sitting there as it is for the last 40 years.
Yeah.
Like my backyard.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that was the idea, was that this is what we were going to need if the city bought it. They would use most of that money to fix it, so it would be a park.
Yeah, what I'd submitted to them was almost $2 million in just upgrades.
Yeah.
Restrooms, parking lots, ADA pathways, maybe playgrounds, maybe dog parks. But it would go through a master plan process. If the city acquired it, we would go through a master plan with the community.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, on what it would be at the end of the day. Yeah.
Great. Any other questions or suggestions or thoughts on the budget?
Well done. Well explained.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And I know it's not the board's role to set or approve the budget, but it's really important, I think, that we understand it.
Agreed.
As you know.
Sure, absolutely. Well, at the end of the day, when someone's going to vote, it'd be nice if you guys would go and support Parks and.
I'll have.
Sort of, kind of, sort of do. Someone go to the budget committee.
No.
And council will say, we like parks, we're on, yeah.
We like parks.
Whatever you support, do.
Okay.
I think it's good that you're clarifying and you're recognizing that importance of making it understandable.
Once you get the dates for approval, you know, this meeting, please let us know.
I think those might be, I mean, I think I can look those up and send those with the stuff, I think.
Okay.
The budget committee, I think they might be out there.
Okay. Anything else on budget? Then let's talk pickleball. How is pickleball going at Tanner Creek? What's the update with that?
Well, I guess there's not a big update. Obviously, we've removed two courts. The sound mitigation is up. I think that, you know, reducing, in my opinion, it's reduced the noise, right?
Mm-hmm.
How much, you know, that's
right.
That's subjective, depending on where you are and how loud that crowd is. I can tell you just today, out of, you know, and I know you're closer, you know, may know more. Tara came up and said, oh, Hammerly is just blowing up with pickleball, crowded, everybody's there.
Yeah.
I went for a walk this afternoon and there was no one playing pickleball at Tanner Creek. Now, that's one day, you know, so has.
It was a nice day this afternoon.
Well, it was nice enough to play, yeah. So some of the youth shifted, I don't know. I mean, and so, I don't know. I mean, Diane, I mean, well, we haven't had those beautiful sunny days.
I know.
We don't have.
On the radio yesterday,
you know,
March was rainier, 2.5 inches more rain in March measured than any, you know, than the average for the last, whatever, 180
years. Yeah, sure.
Track. So significantly wetter.
Yeah.
Colder. It's not going to be a true picture of what summer beholds.
Oh, no, absolutely.
It certainly seems like it's less crowded.
Yeah.
So the information that will really be important is what the neighborhood thinks in July,
yeah,
in August.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That will tell us, you know, I mean,
sure.
We can go kind of listen to stuff. I mean, most of us have done that.
Yeah, but that's
but it's really key for somebody that lives there,
yeah,
to be able to say, I still can't sit out in my backyard. Or you know what?
Well,
the stuff that's blocking it is blocked it and things are better. I mean, that'll be interesting.
Or it's improved.
Right.
I don't think that
it won't be
it's
quiet.
Horrible to its silence. You know.
No, it's not going to be silent.
Where is it going to be in the? Has it improved? Is it livable? Yeah.
Yeah, and so yes, and hopefully council comes up with a way to make that decision, right? Whatever that means. I mean, that's
John
in there.
Williams had left it with us that you know the whole group of all. I mean, there's quite a few homeowners.
Sure.
That. You know, to meet again and get feedback.
Oh, absolutely.
Like July,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And if we get good weather, it might be June where we can start,
yeah,
you know, I mean, if we get good.
They specifically stated, I think, you know, by end of June, we'll try to meet.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's sunny, yeah.
I think that's kind of what people are.
Yeah. So
we'll get a much better idea of that.
Yeah.
And the good news is it's not up to council because you guys have the agreement that. It would be to the neighbors and Williams.
Well, yeah, that's kind of right.
So that's good.
Yeah.
It can be done without.
Yeah, that's
true. Yeah.
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 Cool. It's interesting. So we've talked about Lake Oswego a lot, right, and what they did. So it's interesting. Their criteria, I went and printed it today, 150 feet with noise mitigation is all they have. I mean, we, you know, it's so interesting because every.
It's really close.
It is. And their committee made some suggestions, which is interesting. And then their city council went and didn't even listen to their committee and made a suggestion where there are homes 100 feet away. So, I mean, so it's kind of mind-boggling what.
Right. Generally, the standard is 500 feet minimum. And you had people over 500 feet who moved.
No, I know. We had dinner with friends on Friday night, and they don't live in the neighborhood anymore. And I had no idea that they had issues with it. They are. It's the way their house is positioned.
Yeah.
I mean, there's three houses further away from us up the hill. me crazy. And he said, it literally drove me crazy.
Sound travels up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't think about that, but if I'm just down here, you don't want to be living up here, the hill, right, like this.
I think, I think it just goes in a straight line. Unless something stops it.
And then that's when he just said, oh, my God. So it's really interesting. I know. I wouldn't have expected that. I had never heard them talk about it, when they lived there. They moved 2 years ago.
Well, and the difficult thing is, I truly believe at the end of the day, it's a subjective decision based on the neighbors that live around the property, right?
Certainly.
I mean, just because I can tell you,
windows open, how much you're outside.
And there are people that live right across from it who the noise never bothered them, but now the wall bothers them. I mean, they love the noise.
There was a family that the older man was not bothered, but he said, to be honest, I live on the back side of the house and I have the windows closed. I'm cold. My son and his wife, who lived with them at the time, drive them crazy. They live in the front of the house there, and they like to have the windows open. They're going crazy. In fact, they're moving out of our house, even though we're giving them free rent, so they can afford their own home, but they can't tolerate it. So it was bad enough for them to move, but the older, so they're in the same house.
He likes that.
Yeah. So anyway.
So you could test the hearing of the older guy.
But it didn't seem like everyone in Wild Rose wanted some sort of reduction. They all were concerned about parking and
Nonstop. The parking's probably one of the bigger issues that I think we probably have potentially solved with the two courts, because the club is not there, which help gather people. But I guess that's an informal update. And all of us talking.
Yeah.
No official update.
So I think the true test will be, summer.
Oh, absolutely.
For sure.
So just on the pickleball front, we do have a work session Monday. So council, either the second to last or last, I don't recall, they wanted us to look at alternative locations for pickleball. So we have that work session Monday.
Do you not have a report now?
I do. I forgot to print it. It's a really simple report. Because I didn't print it. I'll send it to you as soon as we're done. I'll walk you through it. Basically, it's a very simple report. We have three existing pickleball courts. We have Tanner Creek, we have Hammerley, we have North Willamette. North Willamette has painted a system that Tanner started with 10 years ago, where you can put a portable court on each side, or you can use the tennis court net as a actual net and a court, and those are painted. We know what's going on with Tanner. Hammerley has been crowded. It's heavily used. I put distances on there from homes. Our department, to the best of my knowledge, has never heard a complaint about Hammerley. Talking to James Compton with the pickleball club, he said he saw one or two online somewhere that it was noisy at Hammerley. What I did was I went through parks that we think could be potential, starting with.
Matthew, one question really quick. Is it Willamette Park or North Willamette?
North Willamette.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, North Willamette has a tennis court, and it had lines painted in about 2019.
Okay.
And it was used, that was with our previous club, and it was used a little bit by neighbors, I know, but it's certainly not heavily used at all. So looking at potential sites that you could explore. Fields Bridge Park has a field area. We would have to make considerable changes to current programming, which would be community gardens and baseball, because there's not enough parking. Willamette Park would be the same scenario. It would have space, but with softball, picnic shelters, boat ramp, everything that happens there, we would have to have serious programmatic changes there to facilitate it. We looked at the White Oak Savannah, which has a flat area down below where we have a playground projected as a possibility. It's 500 feet, but those homes are straight up the hill. We looked at Robinwood Park, which has a basketball court. It's kind of sunken. There are trees around it, but there are homes within 200 feet. We talked to City of Lake Oswego, who has no current plans whatsoever to build any pickleball courts. They've had a conversation about possibly building something at Azalea, which is right around the corner from Lusher Farms on Stafford, but nothing is formalized yet as far as capital improvements program budget or anything. I've had long conversations with the school district. The old Athey Creek, the new high school out there, first conversation was, hey, can we convert some tennis courts? They're going to have OSAA sports out there next year, one of those being tennis, so they're not going to put any lines down there. They would be potentially open to a conversation about maybe having courts somewhere on their property out front by Stafford Road in front of the tennis courts or their other properties. They're not opposed to it. The problem is when you look at their properties, when I looked at them, I don't think they have any that meet 200, 300, 400, 500 feet from homes. We are partnering with them right now over the past probably 10 weeks. And going into May, we have indoor pickleball on Sundays that we're doing, you know, schools in session. It's been going pretty well. There's a demand. We can continue that through July. August, they close schools to get them all ready, you know, for the kids to come in September. I think as we've discussed, the downside of that is people are probably not going to want to play in gyms during the summer. They do want to play outside. You know, we could try. I don't know what that's going to look like. The rest of the year indoors is fall is probably a potential. When we get to winter, the gyms are so booked with basketball. The school district bases things on in season, you know, for their priority system. And pickleball is one of those that doesn't have a season. So, I mean, it wouldn't get a priority, you know, to use the gym. So winter would probably be not possible. And that's really what we're going to present to council. And I think the first question I'm going to ask them is, do we know there's more demand? A construction of a pickleball court, if you want to build a 6-court complex somewhere with 4 to 6 courts, you know, you're probably looking at $175,000 to $300,000 roughly, you know, to put that in.
How many courts did you say, 6?
4 to 6. I mean, it obviously depends on how flat the ground is and what you have to grade and things like that. But, you know, we also mentioned, you know, Hammerly has the land to expand now. Mm-hmm. But if you're, you know, is that a wise idea with noise? And you could put more courts there. You could, you know, there's a potential you could put lights there. I mean, those are conversations, but as you grow popularity of that, does it become a problem? Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's not a problem now, maybe it's just okay to leave that one alone. Yeah. If it remains a viable place, you know, which seems there's so much background noise there, I think.
Yeah, 43 really helps.
The ambient level noise is probably 60 to 70 decibels just standing on the court itself, which probably helps.
Well, that's what I'm thinking back to Athey Creek, where you said possibly adding courts, they're open to that near Stafford. It would kind of provide that same, because you've got the traffic there. I can't think of, what's the house, the one with the paintball?
Well, that's the only house on that side, and it's back a ways.
Because I thought you had said something about there were limitations because of the 200 feet.
All of their other properties. I mean, when you look at Stafford, Willamette, Cedar Oak, Rosemont, Trillium,
all the other.
Yeah, Athey would be the only one, or possibly Stafford Primary School itself.
Yeah.
We didn't go into specifics, but they have a big field in back.
That area between the two, because that's all open behind there.
Yeah, you know, the center section there are 3 soccer fields that have been managed in leased by Willamette United Football Club, and I don't know what's going to happen to that.
Sorry to interrupt you, but you know, the driveway between the two schools, I don't know if that's changed. I haven't driven back there for probably 5 years.
Well, the first field on the right belongs to Wonker's Corner.
Right.
Yeah, and the one on the left of that driveway, like I say, has been leased to the Willamette United Football Club, soccer club, for the past 20 years. I think that's coming to an end. Those are 3 soccer fields, but then where the tennis courts are. So, and like I say, Stafford has a field. We used to, years ago, there were 2 little softball fields on the Stafford school property that were used, and they're just not used much anymore. But like I say, we haven't went into specifics of could we build at this specific site yet, but it's possible. They're not opposed to it as a district.
I think if you go behind, so more north, away from Stafford and away from, is it with Bay there, yeah. Stafford and as the road, you know, like here's the roundabout basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And here's the soccer fields, here's the tennis courts, here's AC setback, here's Stafford.
Yeah.
If you drive back in this driveway here and go around, so you're going toward, you know, Childs.
Right.
But you're still in that property area. I think there's a lot of room right there. But anyway, I'm not sure.
They built a lot of buildings there. They built a lot of buildings.
They built a lot. 15 years, yeah.
A lot of houses there used to be. Years.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's a possibility.
Okay.
So that's out in the county, and it would take a, you know, be a little different land use process and things, but it's certainly possible.
Okay.
Well, I think it's wonderful that you're asking the question, is there another location? I think that this is a difficult thing. And it sounds, you know, if there could be something somewhere on the property at AC, that would be great, or maybe a little more at Hammerly. I think those are viable options. I think all of our discussions on Willamette Park is already so shoehorned, and the same thing with Fields Bridge.
I think all of those also have, like you talked about, the reverberative effect.
Yeah.
You just can't gauge where the sound's going to go without, I mean, absolutely, for anything considered, the professional noise study, the land use, you know, it all has to be professionally evaluated.
And, at White Oaks, I think that
So I
love that you're asking the question, where could it possibly go, and recognizing that some of those possibilities really are not very good.
As we've talked, it's not a good list.
We don't have a good possibility.
It's an old, I mean,
now, remind me, Mary, that's young, that's off the table.
No,
that wasn't here.
That's the last one, which I've talked to their property department, and they're checking. Every time we want to do something there and update our master plan, which we're required to do as part of our lease, there are deeds and restrictions on the property, and the development word is one of them. You know, we know we can't remove trees, we can't do a lot of things, but she's going to take it to their lawyers, basically. The last time we did something there, you know, there were still living heirs in Florida, and if we were to violate the deeds and restrictions, we might end up with 600 homes there, and the goes back to the heir, so nobody wants that. So they're very conservative on what you can do with that donated property.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's so I don't have a specific answer on that one.
Okay.
It's listed, but until they get back to me, I don't know if it would be possible.
This actually represents a lot of work for you guys. Thank you. And, you know, it still takes a lot of work, even if the answer is, we don't really have a lot of good options.
And I think, you know, the hard part is going to be gauging the demand, since Lake Oswego has shut everything down and doesn't have a pickleball court. Yes, there are going to be a lot of pickleball players this summer. Is that demand because the city next to us shut down their 8 courts? I mean, I know we're going to have some, but how do you gauge what it would be if they actually did something?
And they're building or have built that garage, you know, toward by Bridgeport. They're building that indoor.
Are they? I might have heard a rumor that they forgot to check.
I saw it a couple months ago, and I just saw it again recently.
You did? Okay.
Yeah.
I thought I'd heard a rumor that, they might have needed to check with the city and development review. I'm not sure, though.
Yeah.
But, you know, there is Rex, which is over on Old 82nd, and there's another one being built in Portland, I think.
Yeah.
And I thought Oregon's not the city of Oregon City.
There's places to go.
This
city is responsible to fulfill this.
You're right.
Whatever need is.
Now, those are membership. You know, I mean, we don't have a rec center. People go to clubs. I mean, you're right. We don't have to provide the regional pickleball club. Yeah.
Okay. Well, after you review the locations, you said it's going to be presented to council, and the first question is there enough interest?
Well,
does it make sense?
I think we have the course, and it would be great to, like, retool the whole conversation into what other sports can we support besides just one that we've
sure.
kind of
Well, I think we want to, I mean, I think we want courts. I mean, the question that I have for demand is, do we have a demand for more courts?
Right.
And the second question is, and if there's a demand for more courts, does it still justify building more courts?
Right.
Because well, there's demand for a lot of stuff.
There is. Right.
Right.
You're absolutely
there's
right.
demand
right.
for a rec center. There's a demand
right.
for,
right.
you know, cool. tons of stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
So I don't know if that's the question. I think that if it's
yeah.
yes,
right.
yes, there's increased demand, then it still has the question, but is it a justified priority?
Well, I want to get it out there because I think with a lot of things that we deal with, there's always a perceived demand, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have a shortage of baseball fields. Well, it's really a perceived demand issue or a shortage because, well, we only want to play games till noon on Saturday. We want to play at 9, 10, and 11 because parents want the afternoons for free. So, there's management and operational aspects that create field shortages as an example, right? I mean, so, you know, we've had the same 600 kids in Westland baseball for 20 years now. I mean, but things change. They want to practice more. They want nicer fields. They all want turf. So, you know, that's what kind of the perceived demand. And, you know, I just want to talk about it with them. And like, yeah, this is the fastest growing sport in America, and that's all great. But do we really need to build something like Vicky said? Or do we just wait and see what happens? It'll level out. I mean, it's not going to.
Or the people of Lake Oswego go to Lake Oswego and say, give us our courts back.
I mean, you know, there's all around us have courts. Tualatin's had courts
yeah.
for about 5 years. Oregon City has courts at Hill and Day. Gladstone has courts. And Lake Oswego is kind of the only one that doesn't. But, you know, all over Beaverton, there are courts now.
Because that's so unique in the last 2 years or so, there have been at least 30 like litigations against the
right.
courts, and they've been removed from cities, dozens of cities all
sure.
across the U.S. and Canada.
Right.
You know, just last month in Colorado and then
right.
recently in Canada because they're just improperly placed, right? And then you spend more money.
Right.
And so I did to do all this, you know, actual scientific
right.
research to find out where is the best place. And
yeah.
it doesn't sound like there's any other locations possible in Westland, so we'll just have to
yeah.
move on with the new sport.
Yeah, I mean, or big concrete walls. I mean, that you know, $100,000 or $200,000 in a different type of sound mitigation, right? That would solve some of it, you know, like they've done in some of the 55 plus communities out in Arizona.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I guess that's the only other option.
Downtown Sacramento, I can't believe it.
Or somewhere, yeah, where they.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're not there.
There's an entry in Westland's police log last week that someone called in to complain that their neighbor had set up a pickleball court in their backyard. And I thought, well, maybe that's, you know, rogue pickleball leagues, you know, springing up midnight pickleball, you know, instead of street racing, they bring a court and some spray paint or a net and some spray paint and set up in a parking lot and play a couple games before the cops come.
On the mean streets of West Lynn, yeah. They're going rogue.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm just curious, what other, you know, over the last few years, what other sports or desires have the residents expressed in terms of additional park things? Like, has a swimming pool, and at one point, that whole aquatic center was
pool,
a topic.
A rec center,
yeah.
swimming on the Willamette, non-motorized boats, thank
mm-hmm.
you for getting that, baseball, basketball, I mean, all of the big sports. There's more. Is it fair to say there's always?
It's
yeah.
you know, Westland, I think the last statistics, I think like 90% of the kids participate in something. Right.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so
very active.
But you know, the sports
yeah.
are the ones. Well, the sports get the most visibility, I guess, from the newspaper. You know, so those traditional sports are all very highly participated in. All of them, right? But then, you know, we have a huge dance program in Westland. I mean, there's probably 300 girls in dance that, you know, are dancing 4 or 5 nights a week at Sunset Fire Hall. They're going to the Sun Bowl and dancing at halftime in Florida. I mean, you know, then you look at the club sports. I mean, so it's, Westland just really has a high participation rate in everything. Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of kids that are in STEM programs, Lego programs, robotics programs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just kids are participating in a lot of things.
Yeah.
I don't know that there's one that I can think of that, like, has popped up in the last 2 years. But, you know, I think, pickleball mm-hmm. is going to be an NCAA sport, if I read an article correctly.
Mm-hmm.
College teams. I mean, so that sport that started with these seniors is now moved down to the young kids. There are pro leagues on TV all the time now for pickleball. I mean, so I don't
know. Is there a big demand still for ultimate? I mean,
that's still a college club sport, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ultimate frisbee. Yeah, the high school had it. I don't know if they do anymore. They used to practice at Marcus Young. They had an ultimate.
You're always running
it. That's an Olympic sport, and it's one of the most popular sports in the state, actually.
We have the nets down at.
We have volleyball.
Volleyball. Yeah. Then people play badminton too.
Yeah. I mean, we can start to look at some of those things. I mean, part of it is, what do you put out there? Now people have to have their own shuttlecocks. They have to have their own badminton rackets. We don't have the rec center. We don't have a rec center with those courts nearby where you can, like, check that stuff out. You know, a lot of communities will do that. Like, we've talked about, the two pickleball courts we took out for sure are going to go back. What if we put permanent, you know, cornhole? They have concrete,
yeah.
you know, cornhole.
Yeah.
Well, now people need to have their own bean bags, or do you leave them there and just hope they don't get stolen? I mean, you know, so there's just mm-hmm. things. Ping pong tables are popular in parks now. Big concrete structures, mm-hmm. you know, some of that stuff we kind of talked about that we can certainly look at all those things.
I think that's a great idea,
even
for that other half or whatever,
you know,
those other spaces there.
Just disc golf, you know, to put, yeah. you know, I think we've talked about that enough that let's just go buy some baskets and let's just put 2 in a park, 3 in a park where people could go practice.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to have. I don't think you have to have 9 holes to go practice disc golf. I mean, we have half-court basketball. You can't officially play a game, but kids go play. I think those are all great ideas to start looking at, you know, what can we activate our parks with, those conversations we've had. And some of them are small, some of them are big, and what does that look like?
I love the idea of having a rec center that's close by where people can check equipment out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is there any possibility or on any sort of long-term planning?
Well, it is. That's our number one strategic priority.
Yeah.
So it's a wish list.
You know, the rec center is being discussed, mentioned, talked about more and more as we speak, right? And I've talked to our city manager, and, you know, what has happened in Westland, every time you mention a community center or a rec center, it automatically goes to an aquatic center. And then you kind of instantly want a 50-meter pool. And then it's like, oh, well, we can't have a 50-meter pool. Then it'll go to a 25-by-20 pool. And then when you have that flat pool, now you have to have the lazy river. You have to have all the things where people play. And then you have to have a big dry side that all offsets the cost of this pool. The natatorium is the most expensive piece of an aquatic center, right? The last one we looked at here that failed, it was a $26 million project with a $2 million operating budget. You know, and that's, most of that is going to the water, heating the water, you know, all that whole natatorium area. So, you know, I think what I've talked about is, how do we get a consulting firm to come in, work with our community, and find out what's tolerable from a dollar standpoint and from a facility standpoint. Because I believe this for years, what we are missing in this community is a recreation community center. And then you leave space to maybe add a pool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, down the road, you could add
right.
an indoor pool.
If
you could afford it, you could add an indoor pool. But the first thing you could add would be an outdoor pool. An outdoor pool operates about 4 months, gives kids an opportunity to learn to swim, those things. and it'll make money. I mean, you know, so that, but, you know, we tend to go big, you know, and that's kind of what I'm trying to figure out, is how do we bring someone in and kind of find out what the community, I mean, I don't want to say what do they want, because we know what we want. We want a big rec center with all the bells and whistles and an indoor pool. That would be what we want. But how do we kind of get to what's tolerable? What, you know, because this is going to be a bond measure down the road. What's a dollar amount that's tolerable? What will help meet the needs of the community?
I'm
wrestling with that.
I'm assuming the high school does not have a swim team.
Well, the
yes,
they do.
Where they swim?
Don't have a pool.
Up in Oregon City.
Or Lake
okay, so Westmoreland goes to Oregon City to swim.
Or Lake
they used to go to Lake Oswego. When we worked on this in 2012, they were going to Lake Oswego because Lake Oswego's pool is still open.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was told it's not in the best of shape at all. But at that time, the high school swim team went there and they paid like $5,000 a year to swim there.
My thought was if you know, if you could get the school district in on it too, it's a different pot of money. And, you know, I grew up in Hermiston.
Right.
And that was the high school had the pool, but then all summer long, it was just packed with swim lessons and open swim and people pay to use it.
The school district, I think at that time, and my guess is now, they want kids to learn to swim and they want to have those third and fourth grade programs and they have a swim team, but I don't know that they have changed in 10 years that their money needs to go to education because they don't have a lot of extra money either.
Yeah. Well, they're only paying $5,000 if they sell Oppenlander for $2.5 million.
Well, I mean, yeah.
You know, I mean,
we the community pool, Cascade Summit has a pool in Springs. Used to open those up for swim lessons, and hundreds of kids went through those programs, and they closed them.
We're opening again now this summer. It's on. I saw it on the
Instagram.
The first one is.
I think they're
swim lessons.
They're having swim lessons at a couple of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And because of COVID,
yeah. As far as being open, they had closed it.
Yeah,
really.
It's a membership, but then I don't know how the lessons work because lessons are somehow, I think the lessons are open to the public because they've contracted with an instructor. I know, so I've seen it on Facebook too.
Probably because it's limited time, you know, limited duration, limited times, and they pay their own way or something. And
maybe they give money to the HOA. I don't know.
HOA or something. But yeah.
I know some of them have lotteries. You can enter a lottery to see if you can pay your money, mm-hmm. even though you don't live in the HOA, to access the pool. Mm-hmm. No, that's
with that.
For some.
Kin Springs does that.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I've seen it through the years.
Well, the only reason I brought that up is in circling back around the pickleball and how it relates is because if we already have, you know, so many courts now, mm-hmm. then evaluating the need, have we met enough interest, and should we really be focusing on some long-term comprehensive plan to do a rec center to put energy there in terms of, you know, what would the serve the community better? What would more residents take advantage of and really see value in?
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Because it sounds like it's going to be a major effort to try to pursue more pickleball courts if you do the due diligence and go through all that. I'm not saying stop where you're at.
Yeah,
I'm just saying long-term vision.
And I'm not sure we need more. I mean, that's the question, right? I mean, what does this summer look like? You know, number one, what happens to Tanner Creek? Okay. Now, number two, what does the demand look like this summer? I mean, are people waiting 10 deep and they're all from Westland? Or do we come up with some administrative thing where you can only get in with a Westland driver's license? I don't know. I mean, you know, but what does that look like? I mean, I'm not sure we need more courts. If the ones we have happen to be able to stay open, including Tanner Creek or even not. I mean, are four courts enough for this community? I don't know. I mean.
Well, there's six though now, right? With North Carolina?
Yeah, those are probably not going to be used as much, right? The tennis net, so if you and I four of us were to go play, it's lined, but we could use the tennis net, but it's not official height.
Oh, okay.
So the tennis net is a different height than a pickleball net. So you can do it. But, you know, the serious players are the people that want to play on an official court. It's kind of like when we talk about the quiet balls and the quiet paddles. Mm-hmm. You can do that, but you're no longer playing pickleball. You're playing a modified pickleball, which is not the same. Mm-hmm. And people, you know, unless absolutely forced to, they're not going to do that because it's not the same game anymore. Mm-hmm. So.
And if you're training for the Olympics, you're...
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm just...
The membership downtown...
It's just kind of like the difference between baseball and softball, okay. Right? If you just say, hey, we're going to play baseball, but we use this big ball now, yeah. It just changes it. That's all. I mean, not good or bad.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that you have that sensitivity. That's good. This actually leads us to our next agenda item, which is orientation for new city council members. One of the things that we did last time there was a turnover of the city council is to do a short presentation, not in community comments, but get an agenda item on the city council to go through and give them a little orientation to the master plan. And the real message is we need to work together to stay strategic. And strategically, this is what's in the master plan, and an indoor rec center is at the top of that master plan. Mm-hmm. And then maybe raise, you know, here are issues that may bubble up to the city council. You know, sometimes we get leash issues, and sometimes, you know, noise, but we, the city council and the Parks and Rec Advisory Board need to work collaboratively, strategically together. It's basically the message. And we have some new members. Rory did not go through that kind of orientation before. And the feedback, I remember Councillor Jones was like, this is exactly what we need to try to keep us focused. Now, whether they use it or not is another question, but I think that being proactive about being collaborative and strategic, working together, sets the stage for a healthy relationship and hopefully better decision making. And so I'd like to propose that we do that again. I think the two candidates for mayor, Rory would be participating, and the other candidate has gone through that. So I don't think that we need to wait till May, especially with budgeting coming up, to give them, you know, here's the big picture of what's real. And, you know, I have a little PowerPoint, can do it without a problem. I just want to make sure that that's a decision by the board. You guys.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
Do you want to shoot up a PowerPoint to us so we can see if there's updates or?
Absolutely. I would probably need to. I have not updated it. But I as an action plan, absolutely. And I would really encourage Diana for you to attend as a new board member on the Parks Board too. To get that background, is that something that you think would be welcome? And
I would think so. It's just really, you know, in a work session, just a presentation, mm-hmm. kind of. Yeah, I mean, if we can get on the calendar.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. you know.
So, what's the process of getting an agenda item on the calendar? And it doesn't have to be like next week, but you know, sometime. In the next 4 weeks?
I mean, I would probably just formalize a request with a motion that the board would, you know, like to request a work session / discussion with city council to, mm-hmm. with new city council to discuss, you know, Parks and Rec. I don't know if you want to say issues, Parks and Rec.
Parks and
department.
Rec.
Priorities
and planning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Priorities and master planning, you have said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, how about if I make that motion?
Okay.
Okay, I second it.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. So, is that something I request or you request?
Well, you can certainly send them an email and let them know that the board wanted to reach out and let them know that you passed a motion to.
Might be good after, yeah, like in May, after the two new people get a couple of meetings under their belt to settle in.
But if you can at least get the request in, yeah, probably won't be the next week, but at least lets them know that, you know, you can get on the tentative schedule, right?
Right.
Out there.
Especially for.
June, Vicki. I mean, they just, when do they start? May?
Next week, do we?
Well, I think we should have the two new city council members start next week.
Next week, okay.
They certified the election Monday.
And then there's the whole mayor thing, so yeah, maybe it is like.
Yeah, the mayor's in May, which.
I just don't want to wait until they're approving budget. I really want it before people's minds are made up, because they have to be protecting the GO bond funds. They have to be protecting the funds for some of the more strategic efforts that haven't necessarily always been the focus of the council. So I'll go ahead and do I send that to Kathy?
Well, if you send it to. Let me ask tomorrow who they want it sent to. it's going to get to John and Kathy. If you send it to city council, it gets to them anyway, but it might. Maybe you want to prompt John and Kathy before sending it to the whole council.
Okay.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, okay. All right.
Nobody there.
So I'll work on updating that PowerPoint.
They wouldn't know.
Anything else on that? Okay. And then are there any items of interest from board members that haven't already surfaced in our discussions today? No? All right. Living off of One Falls Drive, it's fascinating to watch what's going on with the roads and Fields Bridge Park. We had baseball going on, and it was just, it's been a lots of construction going on out there. Okay, then adult and community center update. Excuse me, recreation and adult community center update with Tara.
So we have had two open positions that we just finalized in the last couple of weeks. So we have two new recreation coordinators, one at the adult community center and one here at City Hall. So that's been great. So we're in training mode now in our busiest season. So it's been a great learning curve. We just had Arbor Week. We gave out 100 plus little trees out to the public. It was very popular. We had Bartlett Tree Service come out, and they donated some little saplings also. So they kind of sponsored a tree pruning event. So that was nice. We have Earth Day coming up in a couple of weeks. No, next Saturday. Yeah, down at Fields Bridge. So that's our big work party for Arbor Month. We have about 20 signed up right now through Solve, but we'll have a lot more. We anticipate about 100 or so people for that. Planting, ivy removal, blackberry removal, chipping, mulching, kind of good stuff. Hoping for sunshine. Summer camp registration opened, spring break, beginning of spring break. Some camps are already full. I mean, it's been crazy. We've got wait lists. So our big challenge is trying to hire our own rec staff for our summer camp. So that's what we're trying to work on.
So if we talk about demand.
Yes. We need some rec staff. We're utilizing all of our facilities, McLean House, Sunset Fire Hall, all the school districts when they'll let us, mostly June and July, and nothing in August. Our little Spring Hooper basketball started last week, so that's really cute. Some teams going, practices and games. And we're gearing up for summer. Fair, music, movies. Yeah, I think that's kind of it.
Awesome. Do you do any programming at all in Robinwood or Bolton?
Bolton Fire Hall? No, that's for storage.
Yeah, Bolton Storage only. Robinwood has been leased to Friends of Robinwood Station. Now, we have the ability to, you know, utilize that facility with planning. I mean, with notice, right? I mean, we could schedule something, you know, it's just.
But is there any space that actually could accommodate any of your programs?
Maybe.
I mean, it's a garage.
Kind of open garage area, so.
And there's a small conference room, but, you know, I mean, we may, but, I mean, the intent was not to give it to them and then have the city come in and say, we're going to use this space Monday through Friday, 10 to 3 for a camp. I mean, so we'll see how that works out, but. So on the park side, I guess, the other side, but I want to mention the Heron Watch down at Maddox Woods. The herons are back. We have one of the largest rookeries in the state of Oregon over on Goat Island. They do a fabulous job of interpreting and little activities for kids. That's up on the website. It's kind of our Friends of Maddox Woods, which is, you know, informal, formal group that, you know, helps us down there. Free street tree program, we ended up planting about 306 trees at 158 different addresses. Cost about $100,000 out of the $200,000 that council allocated over kind of a two-year period. We planned on 250 and were able to get a little more. Parks maintenance guys have been doing a great job. At Maddox Woods, they installed a brand new split rail fence. That bank kind of erodes a little bit and the fence tumbles and we build a new fence every couple of years. Bensky Park got a brand new kiosk in partnership with an Eagle Scout and new drinking fountain kind of mounted next to it. Fields Bridge Park, they put in another new bench that kind of right past the playground that looks out over the river. Let's see, Mid Hill Park, we worked with, actually Tara did, with National Charity League, which is seventh and eighth grade girls organization that's volunteered with us for probably over a decade. At Mid Hill Park, put in some split rail fencing, our staff did, and they put in a new pollinator garden there. Kind of an area that was a low area that collected a lot of water and it just didn't, we couldn't mow it, so we kind of improved it in that way. We also put some border fencing around the basketball court so that the balls don't roll off and go down into these infamous black rays every day. So the McLean House, we are continuing to move forward with programming. We have our first program that's going to be in May, which will be a musical opportunity indoors. We're having the tent put up the week of May 1st through 5th down there. And that group is, library used to do what was called Music in the Stacks, held music in the small music events in the library. We're moving those to the McLean House. We'll be running some summer camps there. We'll be doing some different types of classes there that our rec coordinators are working on. Part of this is utilizing the house, you know, as we now manage and operate it. It's also kind of, with the concerts, we'll be controlling admittance by, you know, basically charging for those. We'll probably have some hors d'oeuvres and maybe a winery come in for, you know, some wine tasting where people could buy a bottle if they want. But just, you know, so that we can start to gauge what's appropriate at that house with the neighbors. I mean, is it 50 people will increase and kind of see how the parking goes? Because there's been, you know, issues through the years with large weddings and we'll increase it. We've talked about we can have people park at the library and shuttle down with our bus at the ACC. We can do VIP where we can pick groups of people up at their home so they can have two glasses of wine, not just one, and we'll take them back home. So we're just exploring all these things, you know, at the McLean House and what that looks like. We'll have a park non-motorized project that we've talked about. We went through a second pre-app with our for the development review now that we have a plan and starting to refine what all the requirements look like to eventually get that through the design review process with our planning department and our engineering department. The scope of work is being refined. I will probably take that May 8th to City Council, the contract. About a $160,000 contract that gets us to about a 30% design, starts to work on all the geotechnical work, the cultural studies, the archaeological studies, hydrology, all those things that we need to deal with around the river. But we're excited to keep that moving forward. As some of you hopefully saw, I think I sent out, actually, next Monday, parking lot is going to be built at Marys Young, where they're projecting about 12 days, and we tried to notify everybody who uses the park that, you know, there might be a little inconvenience for, especially one Saturday for sure. But it's going to be a big improvement. Right after that, we will move to the first two projects they're going to do on the roads program. The next one will be the Cedar Oak Boat Ramp. With that redesign and the repaving and new curbing down there. And hopefully it's not right in the middle of springer season. Hopefully there's no fish this year, so we don't get yelled at too much. Both of those, we don't have much leeway because I have to have paperwork to FEMA and Oregon Strait Marine Board by the end of June to recoup our leverage money to help pay for those. So,
with the non-motorized plan, does that include that, you know, using that stretch between the kayak launch and the volleyball net?
It doesn't, not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a bigger decision, but we wanted to, I didn't want to slow everything down. Mm-hmm. That would be an additional thing that we need to talk about and kind of explore what that looks like. So what Vicki's talking about, we've had an informal conversation. As you know, we talked about this riverfront park. That's one of the keys of our master plan that we had originally planned for below Bernard Landing, right, downriver. And at the time, the property was owned by Water Environment Services with Clackamas County. That property, as you know, has now gone into private ownership, right? So, and the person that owns it has not really communicated with the city at all for the most part for about 4 years. So we are looking at the possibility of, well, what if we were to improve an area kind of from the non-motorized boat area that we talked about, which is here, and kind of get a riverfront improvement all along from where the existing boat ramp all the way around the corner of the mouth of Tualatin, you know, that could, we could, you know, just improve, you know, and make that kind of that swim area. But, you know, it's just kind of in the conversation stage, right?
Or at least access and bank.
Yeah, I mean, could it just be cleaned up? You know, what could it be? You know, could it be vastly improved? Then what do we do? But if we can't do it down below, we're just trying to think of how do we get our people in the river and on the river more, because that's really what they want. And they have for 20 years of master plan. You know, we're surrounded by rivers and don't have too many access points, so.
And not instead of downstream.
In addition to.
In addition to.
But that's another big project that could be discussed down the road. I think that's it, unless we got other stuff or you want to talk about.
Do you know if there's any items of interest or feedback from City Council at all?
No, there hasn't been. You know, we don't have a liaison yet. City Council is, I think their retreat is scheduled, so they're going to start working on City Council goals, I think, soon. If they confirm that now that the election is on, I think it might actually be on the schedule.
All right. Any other questions or thoughts from the group? No?
Mm-hmm.
Our next meeting date in...
That's our last conversation. I will be out of town. I think I put on there to discuss that date. So it's, I will be out of town that week. Yeah. I had something come up. I didn't want to leave that week, but I have to. So I don't know if we want to...
So if we move it?
So we can move it. We have a couple of... We can do whatever we want. We can not meet. We can move it somewhere else. Pick a date. We'll find a place. Or pick 2 dates and find a place.
The day before?
Or then the week, following week. Maybe the following week.
Yeah.
The week before, the 4th?
That's fine. What?
That's better than later.
Okay. May 4th?
May 4th. Same time.
Yeah. If we can't find a room or something, we'll let you know ASAP.
Okay, awesome.
I mean, it works. Otherwise, it works. Absolutely.
All right. So I have two action items. One, work on update the PowerPoint and send it out for people. And then two, send a request to John and Kathy for work session time with the council.
Cool. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sorry. So I don't forget.
If there isn't anything else, then I will officially close the Parks and Rec Advisory Board meeting. And thank you for your participation.
Thank you.
Thank you. So sorry. And then-